This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to GG Well Played, BFM's video game show. We have another review for you today. This time around, it'll be Sega's Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, Zandra Morden, writer from kakuchopore.com, will be joining me for her take on the game. But before that, here's a recap of some of the biggest news in the world of gaming with Daryl Ong.
All right, we're going to start off our coverage with a negative story as another video game studio bites the dust. This time, Deviation Games closed down over the weekend. Unfortunately, this closure came before we were able to see the original AAA shooter for PS5 that they were developing in partnership with PlayStation. Deviation Games was set up by ex-Treyarch and Call of Duty developers in 2020, and as for now, it's not confirmed how many people were affected by the studio closing, but the company hired between 51 to 200 employees, which they affectionately called deviators. Now, this is the latest in a slew of video game industry layoffs, only 3 months into the year, and we've really seen about 7,500 people laid off this year alone, with the highest number of layoffs at Microsoft Gaming, which let go of just under 2,000 employees in February. Not to mention, numerous major studios have shut down since January 2023. It's definitely a trend that seems to be continuing and definitely a worrying one. Amidst all this, a slight ray of positivity on our second story has emerged as close to 600 quality assurance workers at Activision, which is now under Microsoft, have successfully unionized with the Communication Workers of America to become the Activision Quality Assurance United. This unionization is first to take place at Activision, and in turn, they have become now the largest video game worker union in the US. The success of this can be attributed to the fact that CWA and Microsoft had signed a neutrality agreement in 2022 that make Microsoft commit to taking a neutral approach to unionizing, not interfering with any union discussions, as well as offering a streamlined process for choosing to join a union. This new alliance is now expected to bargain with Microsoft over a new contract that encompasses the possibility of better pay and benefits, more promotional opportunities, and a clear career development track. Alright, last but not least, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, developed by Insomniac, recently received a major update. This new update and patch included some interesting features that was in the long-awaited New Game Plus. But apart from those things, the dev also accidentally included access to a development game menu. This, of course, has been fixed now, with the developer quickly releasing a hotfix. But for a brief moment, creative users would be able to have access to potentially game-breaking tools, including settings for items, enemies, health, and more. For those who are curious, of course, this is a bit of a goldmine as it allows us to peek behind the scenes of the game, but chances are messing with these things would likely corrupt your save file too. Regardless, this has been fixed, so no need to worry about it and continue enjoying the game and the new Game Plus mode. That's all we have for this week's news. Back to you, Hanif.
Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is the latest installment in the Like a Dragon series, or Yakuza, and is set in Hawaii as opposed to just Japan. With franchise favourite Kazuma Kiryu returning alongside Ichiban Kasuga, does this game continue the stellar consistency from developer Ryuga Gotoku Studio and publisher Sega? Joining us for her review of the game is kakuchopore.com's writer Zandra Morden. It's her first time playing this franchise, so let's hear her thoughts on them.
Everybody, surprisingly, even though this is the first time I've been playing it, everybody I know has played one or two games from this franchise. So everybody was telling me like, oh, it's a really good game. The lore is like, you know, everybody is just so involved with the lore. So I was a bit worried because I was like, oh no, this is like the eighth one in the series. So, But I was excited because everybody I've talked to about it have always had good things to say about it.
Do you feel intimidated to get into the story, considering that you have to, I guess, like, you know, like a lot of other people have said to you that you have to know the lore of sorts? Did you actually have to do a bit of homework first prior to actually playing this game?
I did. I was, when it came to like the lore wise, I was super intimidated, but luckily, you know, I had people who have played all of the games, so I could ask John if I wanted to, or luckily Google exists, right? So I was like, oh no, who is this character? Google.
And once you started playing, did you feel like there were a lot of things that you didn't understand at first, or was it easy to straight away, I guess, get into the thick of things, I suppose?
Well, Infinite Wealth has a lot of lore baggage, so I struggled when it came to the story. I struggled quite a bit to kind of follow it, because there were a lot of appearances from old characters, or they would mention old characters from like the 7 series, because 7 and 8 are pretty much, you could say 8 is like the sequel to 7. So if you really wanted to start, then if you had no time and you really, really wanted to play 8 and wanted a little bit of background, then I would suggest to play the 7th. But I had no time, so I had to just zoom through, watch like summary videos and, you know, ask around. But I still struggled throughout the series when it came to the story.
Yeah, so that's a good perspective, right? Because I think to a certain extent, having finished the game, do you think that at the end of the day, you feel like, do you have to invest a lot in terms of understanding the story, and not just understanding the story as well, but also making sense of everything, considering that, yeah, it's the 8th installment in the series, right?
Yeah, so luckily, it's not really like, when it comes to the story, it's not really like stressful in the sense where, oh God, you have to know everything, because the main character, there's a lot of moments where he's very, there's a lot of fluff moments that kind of like even out like the seriousness of the story. So even though you're like a little stressed on like I don't know the story, like there are moments where it like unstresses you with like a lot of comedic conversations and even sub stories. But yeah, I would say that you would probably need to watch a little bit of a summary video on like what's going on before playing 8.
Yeah, and based on what I read as well, if I'm not mistaken, the story is meant to also be a bit more reflective as well. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's one of the characters was a bit in a reflective way. I mean, we shouldn't spoil so much, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, that you have the chance to control two main characters, right? Kasuga and Kiryu. Yeah, and Kiryu is apparently, according to what I read, suffering from cancer, I suppose, at the time.
Yes, yeah.
Anyhow, just be aware that everything has to end sometime. You can always turn a new leaf, but you can't turn back the clock. All you get is the precious time you're given. That's why you've got to live every last moment to the fullest.
But, I think if you play the 7th game, that's more than enough to get you throughout the 8th game. So you don't really have to play like everything if you're stressing out too much about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's pretty apparent with, I guess, this franchise, and also to a certain extent maybe other franchises as well, but I guess with Like a Dragon, it's also pretty zany in that sense, right? Quirky and zany as well, right? Yeah, do you think that to a certain extent also helped make things a bit easier in terms of, I guess, enjoying the story, I suppose?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like it's very, very entertaining. The story, there are a lot of sub stories you can do on the side, which really helps like lighten the load of the main story. And I would say, even though the main story is really interesting, I don't think the main story really makes the game. For me, as someone who has played it first, probably, you know, people who have played the franchise, they're like more invested in the lore, right? So they'd be like, oh, okay, I want to know what happens next. For me, it was like, oh, there's so much new things. There's so many like things to do, right? So there's a lot of mini games. There were a lot of stories on the side that I could just invest in instead of like stressing too much about the main story, which is a problem I had. I was very, very addicted to playing the mini games.
Yeah, I heard that one of the strengths of the franchise is the mini games, right? Yeah. So, what was it like to discover the not just the sheer amount of mini games available, but also the variety in terms of how they approach it?
Oh my gosh, I was there's one game which is called Crazy Delivery. And you get to be like the Grab driver, right? You get to deliver food to people, and it's like you have 3 minutes, if I remember, 3 or 2 minutes. Yeah, I think it's 3 minutes, and you collect food on the way. You have to do like tricks on a bike, like wheelies and stuff, and it's one of those games where it's like super easy, but at the same time you want to beat your high score every single time. And like time passes by so fast, and by the time you know it, you played 6 hours of crazy delivery. It's so fun. And then there's another one where it's like, it's sort of like Animal Crossing, you know? It's called Dondoko Island. So you get an island where you have to rebuild it, basically. You develop this island, you install like buildings, facilities for like guests, and you earn money by like collecting trash or bugs and fish, which is fun because it's completely different than being a Grab driver. So you have like different kinds of games that you can invest in, you know?
Okay, fantastic. So do you find that, you know, because you know part of the strength of the franchise is the mini games, and do you find that it distracts you from the experience of actually playing the main game, I suppose?
It definitely can distract you from playing the main story. But I think people who are invested in the story itself will probably go with the main story most of the time. But if you're like me and you're like not as invested, I think it's great that there are many other things that you can do in the game itself.
All right, yeah. Let's talk about the world. This time around, you're placed in Honolulu, Hawaii, right? And as well as in Japan. Yeah, what was the environment like?
Kiryu-san.
So Japan is Japan. We've seen Japan in like every game Like a Dragon, but Hawaii is, I've never been to Hawaii, but I've only seen like, you know, pictures, shows, movies. But it's very colorful. It's the graphics, honestly, it's very beautiful. The atmosphere is great. There's so many people around just doing their own things. And Ichiban fits super well in Hawaii, I think, because he's a very, how do I describe it? His personality is very colorful. You know, he's like, how do I say this without being insulting to him? He's like dumb, but like a very like, you can't help but love him, dumb, you know?
Endearingly dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Endearingly dumb. He's like, he makes like, he says the most dumbest things, and he has like the most, he makes the most dumbest decisions, but you can't help but be like, oh no, you know what? I just want to protect this guy. So it's very, he has his moments, but yeah, Hawaii is, it's beautiful.
All right, let's talk about the combat system. It's a turn-based combat, right? What do you make of it?
I actually enjoy the turn-based combat, you know? And I like the fact that it's not just strictly like, I do my move, you do my move, I do my move, you do my move kind of thing. But it's very, the fight itself, the combat system itself, it's very interactive. So if you're close to certain objects, you can see that you can, if you're close to it, your character will pick it up, and you can use these objects around you to, you know, hit the enemy. And that's not just it. If you're like bond level with your party members or higher, sometimes they will do like follow-up attacks. Or if you're close, you know, like, let's say I do a move, I punch a guy, and that guy goes flying into my party member, that guy will like hit him as well. So it's nice. There's a lot more to that than just, you know, like I hit, you hit.
Bring it on. Yeah.
Open one.
Here we go.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And despite being turn-based, if I'm not mistaken, you're still allowed to control the characters, right? Move them around, yeah? Which also will affect combat.
So you can move your... you can move your characters left and right. Obviously, not completely. There's kind of like a circle under you, and you can move your character within that circle.
Do you feel like it's intuitive enough? Not to say that turn-based combat is old school, but I think because it still has its place in the gaming industry, right? It's just that I think because there is a preference for, at least within the larger market, of I guess things needing to be more active, I suppose. Do you feel like it's a fine balance that they've managed to allow you to still move around while still retaining that turn-based combat element, I suppose?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, it makes the game more interactive because if an enemy is using has his guard up, for example, if you shift around within the circle and you find an area that maybe hits his back, then he takes more damage because, you know, he's not guarding his back. So it's a lot more than... There's actually more strategy involved.
Okay. In terms of leveling up your character, did they implement anything interesting with regard to that?
Well, it's mostly just fight your way to level. There are some areas, I think, where you can level faster. But... leveling is not as hard as it looks.
All right. What about the difficulty of the game? Do you find it difficult to play? You know, are there any bosses that's difficult to beat, or did it become grindy to a certain extent?
I think there are some. I can't exactly recall, but I think there are some where you do have to grind a little bit of levels to be able to beat the boss. I do think that there should be, might just be me, but I do think there should be a difficulty scaling. So, you know, people who just want to enjoy the story, there's like a narrative level. So, you know, combat and such won't be so grindy. So people can just breeze through to the story. You know what I mean? Because, you know, a lot of games now, they have like normal, hard, and then narrative. Yeah, because some people don't really want to grind, but also want to know the story. But for me, I didn't really struggle as much. I actually love grindy games, so the grind to me didn't feel like a grind.
Right, yeah. So sounds like overall your experience with the game is pretty positive. So if you were to highlight some of the positives of the game, like what would you say are the strengths of like Dragon Infinite Wealth?
Oh, 100% the mini games. the mini games are definitely a plus. I really enjoyed the combat. It was very, very interactive. I know a lot of people are unsure of like, you know, like, are just not a fan of turn-based combat. But I think Infinite Wealth has done a really good job with making it not very, like, the standard turn-based. So it's still enjoyable. And let me see. What else? Yes, for sure. Even if you are not a fan of this, like, if you don't know the story, it's hard to not fall in love with the characters. Because some of the characters are just... they're very charismatic.
All right. Does it make you want to, I guess, play the rest of the franchise now that you've played this?
Oh, God. In a way, yes. But, like, that's a lot to play.
Yeah, to be fair. Like, because even when I was, like, talking to a fan of this franchise, I was, like, asking them where to start. And, like, even then, yeah, you got, like, a very different, very varied answer. Like, oh, you can start with this or you can start with Yakuza 0. Yeah, it's always a bit confusing, right? Yeah. Are there any negative points for the game based on your experience playing it?
Honestly, for me, I would say that it's just not beginner-friendly, you know? The story, maybe it feels a bit long, feels a bit dragged out. But like I said earlier, there's a lot of lore baggage. So it's not something you want to start the series with. Mm. On the other hand, if you are not playing it for the story, then you should be fine.
Yeah. So for someone who's not as familiar with the franchise, do you think that this is the right game to get? Say, for example, if let's say they have other options. Considering that, I mean, now let's talk about it from that perspective, right? Like, in February, you know, if they're looking to play between this and Persona 3 Reload, for example, like, which one should they, I guess, pick?
For someone who's not played either of the franchise?
Yep.
Oh, I would go with Like a Dragon. There's just so much, even though there's just so much different things you can do. It's kind of like GTA, you know? You walk around, you can just kill enemies. That's the fun part. And then you have all the mini games that you can do. And every mini game is different. No mini game is like the same. They're like different genres of the mini games within the game itself. So you can't really like, if you're not into this kind of game, there's still another kind of game that you can play within the game. So,
alright. So overall, it's definitely something that people out there should check out if they say they're interested in JRPGs, right?
Oh yeah, I would say for sure you should definitely check it out.
Alright, okay. And on that note, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to GG Well Played, and that was Zandria Morden from KakuChopere.com sharing her thoughts on Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, developed by Ryuga Gotoku Studio and published by Sega. If you'd like to listen to this episode again, look for the podcast on bfm.my, our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also find our podcast on Spotify. Do share your thoughts and the games that you play via our email, ggwp@bfm.my. Don't forget to also follow the station on X at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin. Thanks for joining us. Game on, and please take care. Selamat berpuasa. This has been GG Well Played.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.